RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz.
Listener of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are, welcome to our English Bulletin program. In today's edition, we present you news commentary, Today in History, Focus and News in Brief. We'll continue our program with Indonesian Wonder and Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. We will end our program with Music Corner. That's our program for today. Now stand by with the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news read by Rahmana. First, the headlines. Corruptors excluded from proposed tax exemption plan. Governor Basuki urged Jakartans to obtain reading with the launch of AI Jakarta Library application. Now the news in detail. Corruptors will be excluded from exemption in the proposed tax amnesty bill after an agreement between the government and the House of Representatives. This was stated by Pirmant Subagio, deputy chairman of the House legislative body, on Monday. He said there is no need to grant amnesty for corruptors. There are many good people whose taxes have not been collected yet. The bill also excludes terrorists, human traffickers, and drug offenders from exemption. The House of the Representatives is currently discussing the bill aimed at repatriating ill-gotten funds from abroad to help boost the country's tax revenue. The government has collected just 53% of its 1,295 trillion rupiah, or around $95 billion tax revenue target today this year due to low commodity prices and weak economic growth. A target of 1,369 trillion rupiah has been proposed by the government in the 2016 state budget. Some observers have expressed concerns that while the amnesty may attract criminal funds, it is likely to dishearten existing taxpayers who had been compliant with obligations. Jakarta Governor Basuki Cahayapurnama launched iJakarta, Indonesian first digital library application, as part of Jakarta Smart City program at Balai Agung Central Jakarta on Tuesday. He hopes the application developed by the Jakarta Library and Arsip Body, BPAD, will boost interest in reading around the capital, especially for children. The application includes features to self-published writing. He said iJakarta Digital Library is a facility to increase the reading interest of Jakarta residents to allow them to access good quality books. While scores of publishers have signed on, some have admitted concern the digital library may reduce the number of printed books sold. But the governor has attempted to appease the fears. He also added that it is basically the same as borrowing books from the libraries. It is safer to upload books on iJakarta because the books collections in the libraries are often incomplete. The iJakarta application is available for Android, iOS, and Windows. Coordinating Minister for Maritime Affairs and Resources Rizal Ramli called Minister of Energy and Mineral Resources Sudirman Said to have misguided for the not following regulation on PT Freeport Indonesia contract extension. Minister Rizal Ramli at the KPK building on Monday, October 12, said up to this point, the government regulation on contract extension negotiation time has not been revoked, and it is 2 years before the contract expires. The agreement with Freeport ends on 2021. The Minister of Energy and Mineral Resources is misguided, Minister Ramli said he was surprised by the attitude Minister Sudirman Said that seems eminent to defend PT Freeport Indonesia. According to Minister Ramli, a lot of Indonesian opportunities and resources are lost due to contracts with investors who are considered less beneficial for the people of Indonesia. Stock price index, JCI, slumped 3.04% or around 140.69 points to 4,590.01 at the end of the first session on Tuesday, October 13. Throughout the day, the index moved in the range of 4,489.75 and 4,622.11 of the 519 stocks traded, 50 stocks gained, and 210 stocks fell and 259 shares stagnant. 9 sectors in the Union Stock Exchange all fell, with the largest decrease experienced by various industry sector at 7.52%. The Finnish 27 index also dropped 4.48% to 70.66 points to 376.39. The value of the rupiah against US dollar weakened 1.01%, around 13,544 rupiah for US dollar. The weakening occurs due to the weakening of Asian markets and profit taking pressure after the index gained more than 9% last week. Vice President Yusuf Kalla said the imported rice from Vietnam is needed to maintain the year-end inventory, especially when Indonesia is amid experiencing prolonged drought or El Nino, which is affecting domestic products. Vice President Yusuf Kalla affirmed that the matter corresponds with the meeting result between Minister and President Joko Widodo some time ago. Vice President Yusuf Kalla added that this is essentially to avoid difficulties in the upcoming November and December. The plan to import rice has previously been compared by the President. Associated by the Vice President and said that the government will soon import rice. Based on the calculation of the logistic agency, rice supplies will not be adequate until December 2015. The plan was debated by President Joko Widodo, who said that until the end of September, it has been nearly a year since rice demands can be met by farmers' product. On the contrary, the Vietnamese government claimed to have won the tender to supply nearly 1 million tons of rice to Indonesia. The statement was addressed by the local industry and trade ministry. This news is coming to you from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Most Southeast Asian stock markets fell in line with the weaknesses in Asia on Tuesday, with the Indonesian key index tumbling 3% as rapid depreciation of rupiah frantic profit taking, but Thai property sales rose at hopes of stimulus measures. Jakarta Composite Index JCI dropped 3% to its lowest since October 8, taking a breather after notching out about 10% gain over the past six sessions. The rupiah fell more than 1%, tracking emerging market currencies. Sales Bank Rakyat Indonesia, BRI, the most actively traded by turnover, set 6% amid foreign-led selling and cautions in a bank reporting session from this week. Bank's set index was down 0.5%, recouping some early losses. Investors selectively bought property shares seemed relatively lagger on expectation of cabinet approval of property stimulus measures. In Singapore, investors took money off the table ahead of the Wednesday release of the city's state third quarter GDP and the central bank policy meeting. The Philippines key index declined 1.7% after 2 days of gains, and Vietnam slid 0.5%, is based in four sessions. The last item, Egyptian property entrepreneurs will invest in property in Indonesia. This was stated by the Ambassador of the Republic of Indonesia, Najib Nurfaisi Suwandi, in Cairo, Egypt, recently. According to Ambassador Nurfaisi, Egyptian business people will pay a visit to Indonesia in February 2016 to conduct business contracts, and one of them is in the property field. He explained the property business in Indonesia is very attractive because it's double profits.
Jadi setelah dari pameran Trade Expo di Dubai, bulan Februari mereka mau berkunjung ke Indonesia dan melaksanakan.
So after an exhibition of Trade Expo in Dubai, they will visit Indonesia and implement several business contracts. Among other, it is business in property. Egyptian investors are interested in the field. Property entrepreneurs, God willing, will invest in Indonesia. This business property is very interesting in Indonesia because of its double profits, especially Jakarta, Bandung, Medan, and Surabaya very rapid in their development. Property development in Indonesia is very rapid, including storage building property up to 50 levels. Related to the 30th Trade Expo Indonesia, TEI, which will be held on 21st, until 25th October 2015 in Jakarta. Ambassador Nurfaisi pointed out that there are around 60 Egyptian business people who had signed up to attend the event. He hoped the Egyptian business people who will join in the Trade Expo Indonesia are present not only to conduct trade contracts, but also see long-term investment opportunities in Indonesia. That's news from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
This is Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with commentary, and today's commentary is on should we wait until there's a casualty? In the last few days, the issue of haze from forest fires still hitting Indonesia and cannot yet be overcome seem to be covered by various political events, especially those concerning the House of Representatives. The House and the current administration apparently are still struggling on perception in any political issues. As for instance, the hot issue of the Law on Corruption Eradication Commission revision lately. Whereas in other parts of the country, there are people who are suffering hot shortness of breath due to thick smoke that they had to breathe and feel. The haze problem seems to be less exposed by the media. Related ministries are too busy thinking about the issue of who had burned the land and caused the forest fire and legal efforts to imprison the perpetrator. Although this is very important, yet the main priority is to save people from the smoke with all the risks of the disease rather than imprisoning arsonists. The health ministry recently said that there is a risk of death for people who constantly inhaling smoke, especially young children and those who have health problems. Residents in affected areas should maintain their health by using a mask of sufficient thickness and reducing outdoor activities. Because the longer the exposure is, the greater the chance of disease is, even death. Head of the Health Ministry's Crisis Management Center has revealed that the number of seriously ill people multiplied with various complications due to smoke. An article in the media revealed that the working committee, supposed to be prepared by the Commission 2 of the Parliament to question the government's steps in addressing the issue of smoke, still has not been formed yet. They are still discussing the substance of what they are going to dig out of the government and ask each faction to send the names of candidates for members of the committee. On the other hand, the government refused for an assistance for handling fires resulting haze for various reasons. Singapore's Minister for the Environment and Water Resources, Vivian Balakrishnan, had even called Indonesia Ministry of Environment and Forestry, Siti Nurbaya, to offer the island country's desire to help Indonesia. Originally, Indonesia was convinced to be able to overcome the problem, but reality was different. The rainy season, expected to help extinguish the forest and land fires in Sumatra and Kalimantan, will not come. Finally, the government was forced to accept the help of several countries, including Singapore, Russia, Malaysia, and others, to overcome this. Anyway, saving lives is more important than anything else. Well, that was commentary today. I'm Anna Trijayakasi, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Today in history. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Today in History, a regular segment which brings back people and events from the state in the past as recorded in history. I'll begin with October the 13th, 1925. Margaret Thatcher is born. Margaret Hilda Thatcher, who was born on October 13, 1925, and died on April 8, 2013, was the Prime Minister of the United Kingdom from 1979 to 1990 and the leader of the Conservative Party from 1975 to 1990. She was the longest-serving British Prime Minister of the 20th century and is the only woman to have held the office. A Soviet journalist called her the Iron Lady, a nickname that became associated with her uncompromising politics and leadership style. As Prime Minister, she implemented policies that have come to be known as Thatcherism. Originally a research chemist before becoming a barrister, Thatcher was elected Member of Parliament for Finchley in 1959. Edward Heath appointed her Secretary of State for Education and Science in 1970, government. In 1975, Thatcher defeated Heath in the Conservative Party leadership election to become leader of the opposition and became the first woman to lead a major political party in the United Kingdom. She became Prime Minister after winning the 1979 general election. On moving into the 10th Downing Street and becoming Prime Minister, Thatcher introduced a series of political and economic initiatives intended to reverse high unemployment and Britain's struggles in the wake of the winter of discontent and ongoing recession. Her political philosophy and economic policies emphasized deregulation, particularly of the financial sector, flexible labor markets, the privatization of state-owned companies, and reducing the power and influence of trade unions. Thatcher's popularity during her first years in the office waned amid recession and high unemployment until 1982 Falkland War brought a resurgence of support, resulting in her re-election in 1983. Thatcher was re-elected for a third term in 1987. During this period, her support for a community charge, referred to as the poll tax, was widely unpopular, and her views on the European community were not shared by others in her cabinet. She resigned as Prime Minister and party leader in November 1990 after Michael Heseltine launched a challenge to her leadership. In 2013, she died of stroke in London at the age of 87. Today, October the 13th, is the International Day of Natural Disaster Reduction. The International Day for Disaster Reduction encourages every citizen and government to take part in building more disaster-resilient communities and nations. The United Nations General Assembly designated October the 13th as the International Day for Natural Disaster Reduction as part of its proclamation of the International Decade for Natural Disaster Reduction. In 2002, by a further resolution, the General Assembly decided to maintain the annual observance as a vehicle to promote a global culture of natural disaster reduction, including prevention, mitigation, and preparedness. In 2009, the UN General Assembly decided to designate it October the 13th as the official date and also changed the name to International Day for Disaster Reduction. The UN General Assembly designated the 1990 as the International Decade for Natural Disaster Reduction. Its basic objective was to decrease the loss of life, property destruction, and social and economic disruption caused by natural disaster, such as earthquakes, tsunamis, floods, landslides, volcanic eruption, drought, locust infestation, and other disasters of natural origin. An international decade for natural disaster reduction, beginning on January 1, 1990, was launched by the UN following the adoption of Resolution 44-236 on December 22, 1989. The decade was intended to reduce through concerted international action, especially in developing countries, loss of life, property damage, and social and economic disruption caused by natural disasters. To support the activities of the decade, a secretariat was established at the United Nations office in Geneva in close association with UNDRO. Well, that was Today in History over Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Focus, daily news and events.
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Focus. For today's edition, it's on disaster risk reduction incorporated in the National Medium-Term Development Plan. Stay tuned in www.voi.co.id. To minimize casualties, the Indonesian government will incorporate disaster risk reduction point in the National Medium-Term Development Plan 2015 until 2019. Head of the National Disaster Management Agency, Willem Rampangilai, said that prioritizing disaster risk reduction in the plan will become one big step for Indonesia. He emphasized that there are a number of steps to be taken prior to that. The first step is to build institutional capacity, human resources, and to strengthen the legislation in force. The second step is to build an early warning systems for disasters. According to Willem Rampangile, President Joko Widodo requested that a reliable early warning system be built with advanced technology. He pointed out to build a system of early detection of disasters, Indonesia could learn from Chile. In Chile, although there was an earthquake with a high enough scale, it did not take many casualties. The third step is to build a disaster management research. The fourth, to build emergency support system with good logistics system. The fifth, to strengthen the policy framework. And the sixth is our national disaster recovery. The final step is to develop mitigation and prevention of forest and land fires. In addition, the National Disaster Management Agency would also involve the empowerment of communities to prevent fires. According to Willem Rampangile, through mainstreaming the future, the government will be able to reduce disaster risk index. According to him, efforts to reduce disaster risk index is not only the task of the agency. It needs to work together in an integrated manner with a number of ministries and agencies and local government. He explained the challenge of disaster risk reduction is on the limited budget in every institution and ministry. Therefore, to be effective, an integrated system is expected to reduce the disaster risk index. Related to this, Aceh Governor Zaini Abdullah said the earthquake followed by tsunami in 2004 has inspired to always be ready for the worst that is difficult to predict. Indeed, no one can confront the coming disaster. What can be done is to minimize the number of victims, both property and lives, through increased knowledge on disaster and always ready to face it. According to Zaini Abdullah, the province gives serious attention to the various programs related to mitigating or reducing the impact of disasters. Aceh is a disaster-prone area, especially the disaster that came suddenly, such as the 2004 earthquake and tsunami that killed more than 100,000 people. Therefore, every individual in Aceh should have knowledge of disaster mitigation. With that, at least people would understand countermeasures when a disaster occurs. He added that all elements of society are expected to have a solid coordination on the ground when a disaster occurs. To realize the solidity, strategic and integrated steps are necessary so that all parties understand patterns of cooperation in disaster management. Well, that was focused today on disaster risk reduction incorporated in National Medium-Term Development Plan. I'm Anna Trijayakasi, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Here in News in Brief, read by Rahmana, corruptors will be excluded from exemptions in the proposed tax amnesty bill after an agreement between the government and the House of the Representatives. Jakarta Governor Basuki Cahayapurnama launched iJakarta, Indonesian first digital library application as part of Jakarta Smart City program at Balai Agung Central Jakarta on Tuesday. Coordinating Minister for Maritime Affairs and Resources Rizal Hlami called Minister of Energy and Mineral Resources Sudirman Said to have misguided for not following regulation on PT Freeport Indonesia contract extension. Stock price index GCI slumped 3.04% or 146.69 points to 4,490.01 at the end of the first session on Tuesday, October 13. Vice President Yusuf Kalla said the imported rice from Vietnam is needed to maintain the year-end inventory, especially when Indonesia is amid experiencing prolonged drought or El Nino, which is affecting domestic products. Most Southeast Asian stock markets fell in line with the weaknesses in Asia on Tuesday, with the Indonesian K-Index tumbling 3% as rapid depreciation rupiah prompted profit taking, but Thai property shares rose on hopes of stimulus measures. Egyptian property entrepreneurs will invest in property in Indonesia. This was stated by the Ambassador of Republic of Indonesia in Egypt, Nur Faisi Suwandi, in Cairo, Egypt, recently. According to Ambassador Paisi, Egyptian business people will pay a visit to Indonesia in February 2016 to conduct business contracts, and one of them is in the property field. That's News in Brief from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing,
connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia at en.voi.co.id.
Thank you for still listening at RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia with English Bulletin. Next segments, we have Indonesian Wonder and Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello listener, it is a pleasure to meet you again in Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary, as well as art and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we'll invite you to visit Tanjung Ampat Beach in the province of Riau Islands. Stay tuned. Karimun is one of the districts in Riau Islands province. Marine tourism is a well-known object of the district. Two most popular of marine tourism places in Karimun is Pongkar Beach and Palalawan Beach. Although there is still a lot of other beach resort which offers marine tourism attractions such as the Tanjung Ampat Beach. The beach is not as famous as Pongkar Beach and Palalawan Beach, but in such a matter, it is an exotic object that's suitable if you choose it as your destination place to be visited. Tanjung Ampat Beach, located at Kampung Teluk Dalam Buru Island. The trip can be taken from Tanjung Balai Port in the town of Tanjung Balai, the capital of Karimun Regency, by boat to Buru Port. It takes about 30 minutes. The trip from Buru Port to Tanjung Ampat Beach is about 15 minutes. Before entering the beach, the visitors can find 3-meter-high gate just on the edge of the highway, so anyone will easily find it. Tanjung Ampat Beach has a sloping beach landscape. Its coastline extends approximately 2 kilometers with a wide stretch of sand. If the tide is low, the expanse of sand can reach up to 40 meters, so the area is very appropriate for various beach sport activities. Moreover, the sand is fairly clean, white, and fine-grained. While the backside of the beach, you can see lined of palm tree. Because of its natural beauty, the beach has become a location to hold a variety of events such as beach party, which is held by the local people once a year in early January. In the event, you can see or participate in various folk games such as jute race and paddle canoes. In addition to sport beach, are there activities that can be done at the beach, such as relaxing or sitting on the edge of the beach? You also can swim or going along the beach while enjoying its natural beauty. To visit the beach is very pleasant. Unfortunately, you must first prepare for your food supplies because there is no food stalls in the Tanjung Ampat Beach tourism site. Listener, that was Indonesian Wonderful today with the topic Tanjung Ambat Beach. We will meet again tomorrow with other interesting topic. Sampai jumpa.
Speak Bahasa Indonesia easily and correctly. We present to you Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
This is Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a lesson in Bahasa Indonesia on the radio, which will introduce Indonesian vocabulary and some idioms, and you can use it in the conversation that we are going to present. Today's topic is membeli motor or buying a motorcycle. First, I introduce some vocabulary and idioms related to the theme today. I'll say every word twice and you can follow after me. Motor, motor, in English, motorcycle. Macet, macet, traffic jam. Naik motor, ride a motorcycle. Nyaman, nyaman, comfortable. Kendaraan umum, public transport. Kereta, kereta, train, or railway train. Rumah, rumah, home or house. Halte, halte, bus stop. Jalan kaki, to walk. Jauh, jauh, far. Ojek, ojek, motorcycle taxi. Tunai, tunai, cash. Kredit, kredit, credit. Uang muka, down payment. Kartu tanda penduduk, ID card. Kartu keluarga, kartu keluarga, family ID card. Tergantung, tergantung, to depend. Dealer motor, motorcycle dealer. Teman saya, my friend. Next is a conversation on membeli motor or buying a motorcycle. As usual, I'll say every sentence twice, slowly, and then you can follow after me. This conversation is between Budi and Tom. Saya berpikir mau membeli motor. Saya berpikir mau membeli motor. In English, I think I'm going to buy a motorcycle. Di mana-mana macet. Di mana-mana macet. In English, there are traffic jams everywhere. Naik motor pasti lebih nyaman. Naik motor pasti lebih nyaman. Riding a motorcycle surely will be more comfortable. Mengapa kamu tidak naik kendaraan umum saja? Mengapa kamu tidak naik kendaraan umum saja? Why don't you take public transport? Sekarang banyak kendaraan umum yang nyaman. Sekarang banyak kendaraan umum yang nyaman. Today there are many comfortable public transport. Misalnya kereta atau bis Transjakarta. Misalnya kereta atau bis Transjakarta. For instance, railway train or Transjakarta buses. Dari rumah saya ke halte bis agak jauh kalau harus berjalan kaki. Dari rumah saya ke halte bis agak jauh kalau harus berjalan kaki. From my house to the bus stop is a little bit far if I have to walk. Saya harus naik ojek. Saya harus naik ojek. I have to take a motorcycle taxi. Oleh karena itu, saya mau membeli motor. Oleh karena itu, saya mau membeli motor. That's why I want to buy a motorcycle. Kamu mau membeli secara kredit atau tunai? Kamu mau membeli secara kredit atau tunai? Are you going to buy in credit or cash? Kalau secara kredit, kamu harus menyiapkan uang muka, kartu tanda penduduk, dan juga kartu keluarga. Kalau secara kredit, kamu harus menyiapkan uang muka, kartu tanda penduduk, dan juga kartu keluarga. If you want to buy it in credit, you have to prepare the down payment, ID card, and family ID card. Biasanya, besarnya angsuran tergantung uang muka kamu. Usually, the installment depends on your down payment. Kalau begitu, saya mau membeli secara kredit saja. In that case, I'm going to buy it on credit. Saya antar kamu ke dealer motor teman saya. In English, I'll take you to a motorcycle dealer who is my friend. That was Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia today, a lesson in Bahasa Indonesia on the radio, which guides you to know little about Indonesian language or Bahasa Indonesia. Until tomorrow with another topic, sampai berjumpa lagi.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listeners of RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are, welcome back to Music Corner, a special program which presents you to Indonesian music, both traditional and modern ones. In today's edition, we'll present you to a group band in Indonesia, namely Leto, a band group from Yogyakarta. Well, listener, let's listen to a song entitled Bunga di Malam Itu by Leto. Happy listening.
Ketika aku bertemu denganmu, dalam hatiku terseduh, tanganku tergenggam menahan haru, mataku tak lepas darimu, walaupun ku sendiri. Bye.
A few years ago, let the band already familiar in Indonesia, because the band has achieved greatness in the music world with its singles that extremely hits and automatically also made its popularity increasing among music lovers in the country. The presence of Leto band in the music world certainly provided an enormous influence, especially with musical colors they show. Their music may appeal to many fans, and until today, Leto band, known as a solid group, still continues to be one of the best bands in Indonesia with their best songs. This is the added value for Leto band, so that it still exists in the Indonesian music world. Well, listeners, let's listen to the next song, entitled Cinta Bersabarlah by Leto band. Happy listening.
Walau sehari ku tak berhenti untuk mencari bunga hati. Oh, rasa cinta bersabarlah menantinya. Oh, rasa cinta bersabarlah menantinya. Begitu lama aku mencoba
has been established since 2004, has now been successfully released 4 studio albums containing their best songs, and is also able to compose songs that managed to be hit songs in the country's music industry. Currently, the personnel of Letter Band consists of 4 people who have respective talent in playing a musical instrument. With tightly competition, it's certainly giving slightly effect to the existence of Letter Band in the music world. By the end of 2014, Letter Band has again released their newest entitled Best of the Best, which contains of 16 songs. The album is also a compilation album of Letter Band containing all the best songs that have been sung by Letter Band. With the presence of the latest album of Leto, at least it can take longing of all fans. Well, listener, to conclude today's segment of Music Corner, let's listen to the last 2 songs entitled Dalam Duka and Hantui Aku. Happy listening and sampai jumpa.
Dalam suka ku percaya kau kan bisa menemani dengan cinta. Dalam duka bertanya bagaimana dalam hatimu bicara. Cerita yang kita punya takkan ada jika tak percaya. Dan saat hilang nafasmu, ku kan ada, ku di sana menemanimu selalu. Dalam cinta, ku bertanya. Kata percaya di saat hampa hari, di saat hampa hatimu, ku kan ada, ku di sana menemanimu selalu. Di saat hilang jalanmu dan saat hilang nafasmu, ku kan ada, ku di sana menemanimu selalu.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
harus memulai kerinduan lagi hari ini. Karena kanganku memang tak tahu malu, apalagi kalau sedang diracun madu. Tolong aku, ku tak tahu. Oh, ku tak mau tahu. Tak
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.